WUGA's Artist in Residence this month is Broderick Flanagan, a painter whose murals you've probably seen at the Foundry, at the restaurant Food for the Soul on Atlanta Highway in East Athens, and a local middle school. Broderick is here in the studio with me today to talk about his work and more. Broderick, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So can I get you to talk a little bit about your background and how you became an artist?
Yes, that's a long story. So I'll try to make it a little concise. But I actually fell in love with art at a young age, watching my mother kind of sketch and draw. And mm-hmm. I would try to emulate what she did. And she taught me a few things, like how to do stick figures and whatnot. And then I guess fast forward to high school, I took a couple of art classes there and became very interested in learning how to do portraits. Mm-hmm. And I studied under Mr. Jeff Barnett. He was the art teacher at Clark Central High School. And just continued there. And in college, though, I studied kinesiology mm-hmm. and was intending to go down the athletic training or allied health field. And once I graduated with that degree, though, I found that it was very difficult to navigate that career path. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going to Athens Tech to try to pursue a physical therapy assistant program. And through that process, I landed in the art appreciation class.
Oh.
Yeah, so through that class that was taught by Miss Susanna Flanagan, she really rekindled my passion for the arts. Mm-hmm. And just in learning about all these different artists from different various time periods, I began to really explore what it would look like for myself to become a full-time, full-fledged artist.
Right.
So from there, I kind of dove into that craft, you know, head first, started reading books and whatnot, and just really picking up, you know, my interest in the painting and drawing.
That was areas. Was that your first medium of choice, painting and drawing?
Yes, mostly drawing early on. I did a lot of sketches, a lot of portraits, a lot of renderings of photographs, using mm-hmm. like photographs to make, you know, lifelike, you know, renderings of drawings and portraits. Yeah.
How do you go from painting and drawing on a smaller scale to a really large scale like a mural? How does that happen?
Yeah, well, a various myriad of ways that come to mind, really. Like the thought process I was going through when I actually started doing murals was trying to find a way to capture an audience and to tell a narrative, but then have more people to be able to experience that space.
Mm-hmm.
And also as an artist, you're always looking for ways to expand your work, you mm-hmm. know. So for me, in my mind, it was about going bigger. And the best way to do that was to use walls, really,
right. Okay.
Because I don't have much studio space to just have a bunch of large paintings just mm-hmm. sitting there. So I thought, what better way than to really explore what it looks like to learn how to do public art? And I went to the Arthur Blank Foundation, and they were doing a talk there. Jane Golden, who started the Philadelphia Mural Arts Program, she was there, and that's kind of what inspired me to create programming around that.
What is your most well-known mural around town?
I think my most well-known mural around town is the one on Food for the Soul because it's the most visible.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite mural and one of my first murals was the one I did in the East Athens in the Triangle Plaza area, or the Iron Triangle, mm-hmm. a mural of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X.
Right.
I did that on the day of service, the MLK Day of Service in 2016.
In one day?
It took about 2 weeks.
Okay.
But I included, you know, some youth into that project, and that I was able to teach them about public art
right.
and create a model to engage youth and let them paint alongside me
right,
as
right.
well. Yeah.
How do your murals come about? I mean, do you spend a lot of time in composition and small scale before you go to the large scale? How does that work?
So not generally. A lot of times the mural making process and the model that I've created is more of a collaborative thing,
mm-hmm.
bringing around different groups or different stakeholders and different, you know, age groups as well to come up with ideas and how to display visually a collective or common theme.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one on the side of Food for the Soul was about community police relations.
Mm-hmm.
And that was co-led by myself and Dr. Brian Williamson, who's now at the University of Virginia, but he does research around community and police relations. So the mural kind of depicts what community police relations look like over time with yeah. the dark past of racism and white supremacy
mm-hmm.
and moving towards a more equitable future or a more utopian type society
right.
where everybody's working together, building a bridge
mm-hmm.
and spreading love.
Yeah. Can you talk about some of the recurring themes in your work? What might they be?
Right now, I'm focusing a lot on African-American history
mm-hmm.
and really pulling out some of those stories and capturing those people's portraits. Mm-hmm. I'm not so familiar with the tradition of portraits from a historic concept, but I've learned a little bit about it. But from what I understand is when people started first doing portraiture, it was for the elite, people that can afford to, you know, have that done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the everyday and average person couldn't really afford to get the portrait of themselves done. So a lot of it really kind of revolves around that, showing how these average people, especially African-Americans, kind of going after some of the work that Kehinde Wiley has done,
mm-hmm.
with putting urban, you know, type, you know, people in spaces and showing them in a way of like elegance, or, you know, the traditional poses that you see in a lot of the museums or European style paintings, but putting an urban spin on that.
And why those themes?
Given the context of how American society views sometimes, you know, black bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Even Kerry James Marshall and his work, he uses very, very dark skin in his portraits and his depictions of African Americans and mm-hmm. African American and African descent in society. Mm-hmm. And it really kind of forces you to just look at not only just the skin tone, but just the beauty in it and the positioning that he put it in the painting and the layout mm-hmm. of the paintings and whatnot. It just, it all meshes together so beautifully. And he really kind of just, you know, puts those images right there in front and center.
Who do you draw inspiration from, whether it is an artist or a political figure or maybe a family member like your mother? Is she still drawing and painting?
Yeah, she's still exploring her creativity, not so much in drawing and painting,
mm-hmm.
But she makes things, she gardens,
right.
She does little things like that. But I draw most of my inspiration nowadays from, you know, public topics, you know, surrounding, you know, whether it's African Americans or mm-hmm. Just society in general, mm-hmm. or, you know, certain activist type themes or spaces.
Right, right.
Like the community police relations mural, and some of my later work that kind of focused on how society oppresses certain groups, you know, from whether it be women or African Americans and whatnot. So, yeah.
Shifting gears a little bit, you've got a business in East Athens. What
yes.
all do you do there?
So I do various things there. I teach classes for youth and adults.
Mm-hmm.
I used to teach chess there.
It's an art studio?
It's an art studio space. Mm-hmm. I work there. I paint there and I draw mm-hmm. there. But also it's a community meeting space. So I have various groups come in, have discussions. I do a podcast there, a weekly podcast that airs every Friday at 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it just turned into this space where a lot of things happen, you know, like that, like especially with the youth and providing them a creative space where they can explore their creativity. So it's free for some of the youth there that live in the public housing community.
So we've been talking a lot about your art, but obviously you work a lot with the community. I'd certainly like to hear more.
Yeah, we recently did a community gardening project there in East Athens. Near where I created one of my first murals,
mm-hmm.
Which is the MLK and Malcolm X mural.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of that mural is Show Us a Better Way. And it's really speaking to some of the elders in the community and showing us how to move forward in that next generation and really coming together to do a collective work where we can really, you know, build the type of community that we need and we want to see.
Yeah.
There's a wide spectrum, I feel like, of views within that space, you know, the Triangle Plaza, from the more affluent African-Americans that live in there, and mm-hmm. then the lower in income African-Americans that live in the community, and trying to figure out ways to bring both of those groups together to move forward in a collective manner.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we are coming to visit you this weekend.
Yes, yes.
Let me just say thank you for opening up your home for this artist in residence event.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about what we're going to see when we get there?
Yes, yes. So you're going to see some of my newer paintings. I have been experimenting a little bit with different styles and different techniques,
mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to get a glimpse of that as well.
Can you talk about what experimental, or is that going to be a surprise? What kind
no,
of things are we talking about?
I can speak to it. So I not necessarily have mastered the art of painting just yet, you know, mm-hmm. I usually typically work in oil or acrylics.
Okay.
So I'm still learning a lot about those mediums, of course, mm-hmm. and still practicing to further my craft and to become better at that. But then throughout that process to you know, switch it up a little bit and have a little bit of variety. I kind of try to explore different avenues of portraiture, of creating mm-hmm. portraits. One of those most recent, you know, areas where I was experimenting was using a lighter basically to create burn marks on like wood panels. And I started off on canvases actually, but I was burning holes through canvases instead of creating the effect that I wanted.
Right.
But it gives this great smoky effect, you uh-huh. know, and I'm able to kind of use the flame from the lighter to burn or char the wood in a way that creates these different images.
Wow. So the flame really is your paintbrush.
The flame is the paintbrush.
Do you know of any other artist that's done this?
Yes, I have. I actually, when I came up with the idea and I started working on those, I Googled it actually mm-hmm. to look and see what other artists doing this type of work. And I found a few that were doing it. Their names are escaping me right now, but there are other artists that have done this before. So I can't claim it as the first. But
it sounds very interesting. Are we going to get to see some of these when we come visit?
Yes, definitely. You'll
terrific.
Be able to see some of those.
Mm-hmm. Well, going back to the discussion we had about your community work, let mm-hmm. me just take a moment also to thank you for your efforts to really enrich the community.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
How hard was it for you, or is it today, to succeed as an artist?
Yeah.
Can you talk about the struggles of an artist?
Yes, definitely, because they are many and varied. The struggles of artists, you know, range from exposure, you know, to publicity, how to market yourself. Mm-hmm. There's a business side to the art world that not even I have fully understand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still learning from more seasoned artists, more veteran artists. I have a myriad of mentors.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that I tell people, for whatever craft you're going into, try to find and connect with somebody who is already doing what you envision yourself doing or has already been where you want to go, and learn how they were able to go through that process. So that is exactly what I did. I early on, I got with artists like John Ahe and Abner Cope here locally, which are great portrait artists. And they have two different styles, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, you know, pretty successful artists and have accomplished and actually made a living as artists, you know. So that is one thing. But then also just learning the business side of things,
mm-hmm.
maybe even writing a business plan or outline or feasibility plan of how you want to sustain yourself as an artist, you know, using your craft.
Right.
You have to have a plan.
Got to have a plan.
Yeah. But it is difficult, though, because you know, some artists that I've run into are introverts. I'm kind of on the cusp, I guess you would call it an amnivert.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to go out and talk to people and network and market myself in a way that would put me in certain positions to take advantage of certain opportunities. So you definitely have to have those skills as well. And it's hard. Not everybody's receptive to that.
Right.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to the most this weekend?
This weekend, just a fellowship with the people, having fun. The food and people enjoying the art and learning about my story and seeing the space where I operate sometimes. So I am excited about, you know, all the aspects of it. When I first learned about the Artist in Residence program from Ms. Pat Priest, big shout out to her, I was able to come and participate, mm-hmm. you know, as a somebody showing up.
Mm-hmm.
But then also she invited me back to become a docent for a couple of artists. So I think for Ms. Yvonne Studevant, I was a docent for her. I believe it was for her.
Mm-hmm.
And for one other artist. I can't remember their names right now. But
Series has been going on for 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah.
And we are very grateful that you have agreed to allow us to include you in the series.
Yeah, awesome. Glad to be included.
I've been speaking with Broderick Flanagan, WUGA's featured artist in residence this month. Broderick, thank you for coming.
No, you're welcome.
The event celebrating his work is from 3 to 5 p.m. at his home this Saturday, April 21st. For more information or to RSVP, contact Kathy Bradbury at wuga@uga.edu, or you can give us a call at 706-542-WUGA. That's 706-542-9842. Space is limited. For WUGA, I'm Michael Carden.